Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Gentleman sent me an email yesterday with a question and said, Steve, you can use this as a question for video. Prefer you not to use my name, however, because there's ongoing litigation. And so I'm going to summarize the best I can without giving away too much of this. But let's suppose that you are a car dealer. You own a car dealership and you sell a used car to somebody as is. Okay? And later on, they come back and they say, hey, the car broke down. I want you to fix it. You go, well, we sold it to you as is. And you say, fine. And you go find an attorney, file a lawsuit. And by the way, I've spoken to attorneys who work at car dealerships or defend car dealerships and say, Steve, we're being sued over a car we sold as is. And I try to explain them. I say, you understand that anybody can sue anybody, right? And they go, oh, yeah. And I said, well, it's just a lawsuit. It doesn't mean they're going to win. And so the guy who sent me the email said, Steve, we're being sued over the implied warranty merchantability. And he said, I've poked around a little bit and I can't seem to find what the parameters of it are. Like how long does it last? What does it mean? And that's an interesting question because I talk so much about as-is sales, the implied warranty merchantability, the implied warranty fitness for a particular purpose, warranty of title, things like that. There's all kinds of different titles, right? And different warranties and different things. So the question is, what does an implied warranty merchantability get you? And could you sue a dealer for it who'd sold you a vehicle as is? So I have to tell you that the first thing is to understand that it's a state law. All 50 states have got it. It's just marked differently in your law books. In the blue books behind me, it would be 440.2314. But the 2314 is a reference to its Article 2-Section 314. And so the UCC in most states will follow that numbering system. So it's Article 2, Section 314, which talks about a warranty that goods shall be merchantable is implied in a contract for their sale if the seller is a merchant with respect to goods of that kind. A warranty that goods shall be merchantable is implied in a contract for their sale if the seller is a merchant with respect to goods of that kind. So I've mentioned before, you go to a lawnmower store, they're a merchant with respect to lawnmowers. I buy the lawnmower, bring it home, it won't cut my grass. Well, it's implied that that lawnmower will do what it's supposed to do. And so merchantable is not defined in that sense, except there's another section that defines different kinds of merchantability. And one of them is that the goods are fit for the ordinary purpose for which such goods are used, which is they'll do what you expect them to do. So in many states where courts have ruled on this, courts have said an automobile should be safe and reliable transportation. Safe and reliable transportation. That's it. Okay? But you might say, but Steve, you're telling me if I sell a used car, I'm promising somebody it's safe and reliable transportation? Well, I purposely read this leaving something out because the section that says a warranty that goods should be merchantable is preceded by a very short section that almost swallows the entire thing up. It says, unless excluded or modified, a warranty that goods shall be merchantable. Unless excluded or modified. And then it points you to a section that talks about what you can exclude or modify. And it says that you can exclude the implied warranty merchantability if you do so with language that is conspicuous and if it's in writing mentions merchantability. So if you want to, you can sell a vehicle and exclude the implied warranty merchantability by putting it in writing and using the word merchantability. But then the statute goes one step further, and this is 2316 sub 3. It says, notwithstanding that, all implied warranties are excluded by expressions like as is, with all faults, etc. So if you sell a vehicle as is, all implied warranties are excluded. So that's why 99% of all cars sold by car dealers, used cars, in America are sold as is. In states that allow it. There's some states that don't allow it, but it's very, very few states. But most states allow this. Most states do, okay? So again, it starts with that goods shall be merchantable, implied in the sale, if it's a merchant with respect to goods of the kind. However, that can be excluded with language such as is, or with all faults. So you get back to the used car dealer who sells a car as is. Somebody files a lawsuit against them. What's the cause of action? Well, breach of express warranty? What express warranties did we give you? A bumper to bumper? I mean, 3 years, 36,000 miles? Something like that would need to be in writing, right? An express warranty? How else did we express it to you? So you're going to say it's an implied warranty of merchantability. Well, did you have them sign an as-is document? Did you have the window sticker in the window required by the FTC? The buyer's guide. The buyer's guide has right on it, this car is either being sold with a warranty or as-is. If you use that buyer's guide, which was drafted by the Federal Trade Commission, and they have ruled that it's conspicuous and illegal, guess what? The attorney should be able to walk into court at the first hearing with a copy of the buyer's guide and say, Your Honor, we disclaim the implied warranty of merchantability legally, assuming we're in a state where we can do that, and there's no cause of action here because they're claiming a cause of action that's impossible. They didn't buy the car with an implied warranty of merchantability. They bought the car as is. Now, is it possible as other causes of action? I've mentioned before fraud, for instance. It's possible that if a seller defrauds somebody, that's not addressed by a disclaimer. Because again, the disclaimer simply says, all implied warranties are excluded by expressions such as is. But that's implied warranties. You can't disclaim an express warranty. It doesn't make any sense. Last time I said that, I had two people argue with me about that, but hopefully they're not watching today. So again, if you simply look at the transaction at its most basic, I walk into a dealership and I buy a car, okay? The seller would be suggesting the car is merchantable if they don't disclaim it. And the UCC anticipates the disclaimer because, like I said, the first four words of Section 2314 are, unless excluded or modified, a warranty that goods shall be merchantable, shall be implied, etc., etc. And then it specifically says, go see 2316, and 2316 at number 2 says that you can exclude or modify it with language that's in writing, mentions merchantability, or simply saying you're selling it as is or with all faults. So anybody can sue anybody. I've had a lot of people call my office and say, hey, can we sue this dealership? They sold me a car. I said, you buy it with a warranty or as is? I bought it as is. What are we suing them for? Well, the car is a piece of junk. Okay, the car is a piece of junk is not actually a cause of action. Okay, so when you come into my office or any lawyer's office and are asked to describe what happened to you, the lawyer is listening to what you tell them and asking, what does this qualify as? What box do we put this in? Or how do we put this in a lawsuit and actually have it be something we can pursue? And so the cause of action you'd be looking at most likely is the implied warranty of merchantability. That is that a car will do what you expect it to do, get you from point A to point B safely. Safe and reliable transportation. And so one of the things that I did caution this emailer about is that the UCC is a state law. As such, it's interpreted differently state by state. So some states will actually talk about what the implied warranty of merchantability means with respect to an automobile. They might not say safe and reliable transportation. They might say something else. And also, whether or not something is conspicuous, if that becomes a matter of litigation, some courts have actually gotten into these definitional distinctions about what is conspicuous. If the entire form is in 12-point type, is it conspicuous to write something in 12-point type? Well, if you read the whole contract, you would have seen that. But conspicuous, is it more obvious than the rest? So what about if it's red ink used for as is? The rest of the document's in black, but this is in red. Okay, what about if we have you sign the original, we tear off the top copy, we hand you the second copy, and the second copy is pink, like many RD-108s in Michigan, so that the red print is on a pink background. Is that conspicuous? I'm not making this up. This is the kind of stuff that I've seen courts do. What about if the entire document's in 12-point type, the as-is is in 10-point type, but it's red? Different color, smaller type. And there are some courts that have gone through just mental gymnastics trying to figure out what conspicuous is. I don't know if it's conspicuosity or conspicuousness, but what makes something conspicuous? But it does say that simply using the language as is or with all fault does that. Okay? So if you use the buyer's guide and you're in a state that allows as is sales, and that buyer's guide was shown to the buyer prior to purchase, which is supposed to be by law, you should be good, although you may have to defend yourself by simply hiring an attorney and defending it, going to court and saying, Your Honor, it's as is. The one thing I will tell you is I've had many people tell me I've never saw the buyer's guide. I never saw it. It wasn't presented to me, wasn't shown to me. And we go to court, and of course, the other side goes, there's a buyer's guide right here. So if you are, and again, I normally don't do this, but I'm giving some advice right here because it will clarify things. I'm going to give some advice right now for used car dealers in my audience because I know there's a couple. If you sell used cars and you use buyer's guides like you're required to by federal law, when you have the buyer signing all the various documents that they're signing, have them sign the buyer's guide. Put it in front of them, put a little signature line on it, go, please, just received, because we'll give you a copy of that. Want to make sure that there's no argument that you saw that. And so if you're going to show it to them, have them sign it. And I've actually had clients come into my office, drop a big pile of papers on my desk. I'm going through it. Boom. There's a buyer's guide with their signature on it. And I've actually asked, hey, when did they ask you to do that? They said, oh, it's among all the various papers that we were signing that day. I said, oh, okay, checking out. So there you go. So the implied warranty merchantability is not described in the sense of the length or what gets repaired in the car or anything like that. It just simply says that if you're a merchant with respect to goods of that kind, that you are saying that the goods are merchantable. And then the question is, what does merchantable mean in your state? And the bigger question is, why didn't you disclaim it? Because it's so easy to disclaim. So there you go. Thanks for sending me the note. I won't mention the name of the guy who sent this to me, but I know that he knows who he is. So thank you very much. Questions or comments, put them below. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Solitude shows us what should be. Society shows us what we are.